Jaya Raga Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Raga Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Raga Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Valabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Valabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Valabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Valabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jai Jagannath Jaya Jai Jagannath Jaya Jai Baladev Jaya Jai Subhadra Itai Gaura Haribo, 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 Itai Gaura Haribo. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
Vishnupadaya Paramahamsa Parivekacharya Astata Astata His Divine Grace Bhakti Aisi Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupadaya Paramahamsa Parivekacharya Astata Astata His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Grantarach Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai All glories to the assembly of devotees All glories to the symbol of devotees. All glories to the symbol of devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, entitled The Killing of the Hanukkah, the Asdaman, Text 15 and 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Read the Sanskrit of verse 16. Kvachit palava talpeshu niyudhashrama karshitaha vriksha mulashraya aksete gopatsam gopa barahamaha kvachit palava talpeshu niyudhashrama karshitaha vriksha mulashraya aksete gopat sam gopa barhanaha kvachit palava talpeshu niyudhashrama karshidaha vriksha mulashraya aksete gopat sam gopa barhanaha. Anyone would like to chant? Vachit palava talpeshu yudhashrama karshitaha vrikshamulashraya sete patsangopabhanaha Chitpalava talpeshu Yudhashrama karshidaha Vrikshamulashraya sete Patsangoparbanaha Chitpalava talpeshu Yudhashrama karshitaha Vrashraya sete Patsangoparbanaha. Anyone else? Sure, go ahead. Vachit palava talpeshu Yudhashrama karshitaha Vrikshamulashraya sete Upatsangoparbanaha. Very good, very good. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you for chanting. We will word by word translation. Kvachit, sometimes. Palava, made from new twigs and buds. Talpeshu, upon beds. Niyudha, from the fighting. Shrama, by fatigue. Karshitaha, worn out. Vriksha, of a tree. Mula, at the base. Ashraya, taking shelter. Sete, he lay down. Gopautsanga, the lap of a cowherd boy. Upabarhanaha, as his pillow. So we read the translation to verse 15 and 16, so you get a continuity. So verse 15 is, sometimes as the cowherd boys danced, sang, moved about, and playfully fought with each other, Krishna and Balaram, standing nearby hand in hand, would glorify their friend's activities and laugh. And the verse that we just chanted translates as, sometimes Lord Krishna grew tired from fighting and lay down at the base of a tree, resting upon a bed made of soft twigs and buds, and using the lap of a cowherd friend as his pillow. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Okay. The word Pallava Talpeshu implies that Lord Krishna expanded himself into many forms, laid down upon the many beds of twigs, leaves and flowers hastily constructed by his enthusiastic cowherd friends. Wow. Very descriptive and short purport. We try to expand, try to make some points over here. I'll use Bhagavad Gita as well, as usual, and my notes that I took yesterday. Thank you so much for coming. Very much appreciate your attendance this early morning class and your readiness to take notes like this fellow. Hopefully I'll make some logical points, and hopefully you like it. So in this particular verse and this chapter, not only describes the killing of the Hanukkah, the S demon, but in this particular verse it is said that how the jivas describes how the jivas in the mood of friendship and servitude to the Lord enjoy the spiritual pastimes in God's kingdom. You can see that a younger brother, Krishna, serves the older brother, Balaram, and then cowherd boys serve Krishna. And finally, Krishna and Balaram, they praise the cowherd boys. So they praise them and they serve them. So it's not always that, it's not that God always takes service from the jiva. Oftentimes, the higher understanding of God is that He likes to put Himself in this mood of offering service to a tiny living entity, and that's how He derives pleasure, by serving the tiny living entity. So that's not absent from God either. Lord Krishna is shown here praising, glorifying the cowherd boys for all the feats that they were doing, whether it's singing or playing. Quite amazing. Generally, the Western understanding of God is that the God is one who accepts service from the fallen, tiny, living entity, but it's never the other way around. But since both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Spirit Soul, they share the same qualities, although in a minute quantity in the Jiva Soul, God also desires to put Himself in the position of servitude by glorifying the lower tiny living entities and helping them in different ways. Is that not amazing? God is great and we are small. But because God is so great, He can also be glorified as the one who serves the small jiva, just like He served Arjuna on the battlefield. He guided his chariot, drove his chariot, and Arjuna was just shooting arrows on the battlefield and trying to fulfill his duty. So it was a mutual mood of service. Arjuna was trying to fulfill the Lord's will by fighting, participating in that battle, and Krishna was helping to Arjuna to get in the right spot and maneuver the chariot on the battlefield. And also, most importantly, Krishna gave instructions to Arjuna, so he knew how to adjust his consciousness, not only how to fight, because hey, Arjuna knew how to fight, but his consciousness was not quite where it's supposed to be at the beginning of the battle. So that's a story in Bhagavad Gita, so you should read it too if you haven't already. So the great, the Supreme Lord also puts himself in this situation where by his will he wants to serve the living entity, the small living entity. The material example that will help us understand this, whether you're new to Krishna consciousness or you've been practicing for many years, you can always use this example to share with others, to get the point across to others. You can understand that generally the king is served by all, both small and big personalities, adults, children. But the king, when he's with his queen and the small children and in his room, he behaves quite differently. You know, he can give orders and rule, but when he's with his queen and the children, he can feed them, play around with them. He's quite different. Another example comes from family life, since I am a grihastha. It's very easy for me to understand it. When I'm at work, you know, I make decisions and, you know, I feel like I'm in charge. But when I come home, it's quite different. As soon as I show up, I got my two sons running up, and they yell, "Daddy, Daddy, play with me, do this." And the little son, his name is Nila Madhava, he shows me two trucks. One's like an, I think it's a fire truck, and the other one could be a dump truck. And he says, "You play with this one, this yellow one, and I'm going to play with the red one." So he gives me the rules. He tells me what he wants me to do, and I give up my identity as a, you know, as a boss at work, and I, with pleasure, take the little toys, and I play with him as he wants me to play. And I don't care what I did before. It's just giving pleasure to the to my children, and I'm also deriving pleasure. And it's part of the relationship. You know, I may be I'm either father, and I can give them orders, but the sweetest exchanges are when we just play with the cars, you know, or Lego, whatever. So hopefully these examples will help illustrate how God also has this propensity to just put aside his kingship and his supremacy and just play with the jivas and serve them. So God has this pleasure potency, and he doesn't want to be the boss all the time. The whole universe worships him anyway all the time, sings glories. What else is new? Same old, so. Now God wants to, for a change, carry on his back, wrestle with you, play in the water, swim, play ball. What else would we like? It's a lot of fun. But it's conducting on a transcendental platform, not quite what we do here when we try to imitate. Without or with knowing God's pastimes, people who are spiritual and not spiritual, especially those who are not in spiritual consciousness, they unknowingly imitate God's pastimes and also do the same thing. So the problem is, though, that whether you are in Krishna consciousness or outside of the circle of devotees, the problem is that we have many more pleasurable and worshipable objects and activities, many more activities and objects that take away our attention from exclusively focusing on serving God and chanting the holy name. That's the problem. And this chapter describes the killing of the Hanukkah, the S demon. And as I remember from the seminars that my Guru Maharaj conducted a couple of years ago, I had some notes. So from those notes I have written that the Nakasura, the S demon, symbolizes our ignorance of identity, of true identity, and this feeling that something is worthy of our worship. In addition to God, to God's worship, to chanting the holy name, or for those who are non-devotees, as a replacement, you know, we're not going to worship God and sing His glories, and we're just going to do something else. So, for devotees, it means sometimes we're distracted by the activities that may not be so Krishna conscious. So the demon Dhanakasura symbolizes that consciousness of feeling that, I am so much attached to this and I don't really have that much time for chanting this morning. I will do this. So this is the what the demon symbolizes. And many times in traditional understanding is that some individuals without proper who are not situated in proper knowledge consider demigods to be equal to Vishnu or Krishna, and they worship them in addition, or they're replacing Krishna and they just worship the demigods, which is offensive. You know, that's one of the offenses that we try to protect ourselves from when we chant the holy name. You don't want to consider the name of Lord Krishna or Vishnu to be equal or higher, to be equal to the death of the demigod. So there's one of offenses. Also, this demon Dhanakasura also symbolizes the fact that sometimes we have a tendency or feeling to misinterpret the holy name of the Lord. This is one of the offenses, I think, 5 and 6. We give some interpretation on the holy name, and we think it's an imagination. Or we may not be directly thinking that, but because of our attachments that are not quite shaken off yet, we have this feeling that I cannot complete my chanting this morning. I have to do something else. I have to go to the store because I'm running out of, you know, bread. And our consciousness may not necessarily be that we want to make, food for Krishna, or, you know, flour. Let's say flour getting from the store to make chapatis. So you may not have the consciousness that you are want to make the chapatis for Krishna. You're just hungry, and you're putting the chanting away, and you're running to the store. You're getting engaged in something else. So something else, some other activity, is replacing the time that is supposed to be dedicated to chanting the holy name of God. Similarly, activities and the worship or too much respect for mundane personalities. Like, I remember, I'll give you some examples that you may maybe relate to. Maybe you can use this example when you want to get this point across to others. I remember when I was a teenager and in my early 20s, that I was really much in admiration of athletes and, you know, martial artists, because I was engaged in martial arts. So I was really admiring them. And I was, it was even before I joined the Krishna Conscious Movement. And, you know, I went to church and, you know, I prayed to God, but I'm afraid, as I think back, that I was giving more admiration and I was more interested in reading biographies of different martial artists and reading about their feats, what they could do. You know, they could break 10 bricks, you know, or maybe sit facing a wall for a year without moving. So I was reading those stories and biographies of these martial artists and masters, and I could be using that time to pray more, you know. Whether I was praying to Jesus or I was chanting the holy name, I could be using that time, but I was so absorbed in it, I was giving it too much admiration. It was taking away my focus and my time from spiritual activities. And for devotees, that means, you know, chanting the holy name, maybe going out on Sankirtan, distributing some books to others. So that's just my little example from younger years. I was giving priorities to those personalities. You know, I'm ashamed to admit. I was just so much into that. I can still remember those facts. And they're still in my mind, even though I don't want to remember them. Like, oh, this guy was born in this year, and he did this, and he won this, and he could do this exercise, you know, push-ups onto fingers. All these facts are in my mind because I was studying and really immersed in that. Similarly, we have so many things that cloud our minds. And for that reason, our chanting may not be effective, attentive and therefore effective. We may not chant the first thing in the morning. We may put other things. If you live at the temple, it may be quite different, but most devotees live outside and they face many challenges. They just may actually get up, take a quick shower, and just remember Krishna briefly and just rush off to work without much devoting much time to chanting the holy name. So that is unfortunate, but we can defeat this this symbol, the Dhanakasura. We can defeat it. Defeat that by listening more to the instructions of senior devotees. If you're initiated, to the instructions of your Guru Maharaj. If you're not initiated, you can also I recommend that you listen to our all-time guru, Srila Prabhupada Acharya, and by reading his books. I remember from the seminar that I took a couple of years ago, I tried to copy some notes here, that the best way to defeat this Dhanakasura, this feeling that something else is more important or urgent than chanting the holy name, is to listening to your Guru Maharaj, listening to the instructions of senior devotees. So that is very important. There's one more point here. Personal endeavor is required. It's not going to happen automatically. Sometimes Krishna gives a push and gives everything, so it becomes easy, you know, easy progress, and you focus on the chanting and on your program. But sometimes it's not so easy, and this particular obstacle of being in it, giving priorities to other activities or personalities, giving them too much attention and not chanting, not the holy name of the Lord, is that you can focus your mind and use your own determination. It is recommended you have to endeavor personally to conquer this, and Krishna will help. But you have to show Krishna that you really like to give more attention and give priority to the chanting of the holy name. Otherwise, it may not happen for years and years and years. I remember years ago, I would get up and check on my computer, you know, the latest results of mixed martial arts fighting, you know, what happened, you know. It was like I could not watch the fight because I didn't want to pay, so I wanted to log in next day and see the latest news, okay, instead of taking a cool shower and starting to chant. So I was giving priority to those activities. Not so good. So you have to constantly hear from your Guru Maharaj and endeavor personally to conquer this. Other activities like exercise and martial arts that I can relate to is in the mode of passion, Rajaguna. Okay, so it's taken to the extreme. If martial arts, or you know, giving attention to martial arts or exercise takes over, there's a lot of Rajaguna, it becomes very intense, and then you are frustrated and angry, and then everything turns into ignorance. I'd like to give you an example here from Bhagavad Gita, verse chapter 2, verse 59. Let me see. Not correct. It was chapter 2, verse 66. Okay. I'll read the Sanskrit and then the English. Nasti buddhira yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha bhava payataha santir asantasya kutak sukham. Okay. The translation is that one who is not connected with the Supreme can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? So it doesn't matter what activity you're engaged in. It doesn't matter, you know, maybe checking the news, or maybe you are, I'll give you an example for non-devotees who, let's say, gamble, or, you know, lottery cards. I don't know if devotees do it, you know, just lottery cards. Maybe not going to a casino, but actually, you know, sending the numbers, and so maybe they can win $1 million. But for non-devotees, for sure, going to casinos and playing lottery cards, that's in the mode of ignorance, right? Gambling is in the mode of ignorance. So that could be an activity that's distracting non-devotees from actually becoming spiritual at all. And exercise, you know, devotees exercise, they do some yoga and running and biking. So that can also, if not connected with Krishna consciousness, if Krishna is not invited into this activity, if it becomes more important than actually chanting in the morning, that turns into extreme passion, rajaguna, and then we're frustrated, and our mind becomes dull and unhappy. And also, there are activities in the mode of goodness. Like, let's say, many devotees have a garden, okay? So the garden is supposed to be for Krishna, right? You have nice flowers, nice vegetables and fruits. Okay, so that's the idea. But we may do the gardening because we really like it too. Like, I do my exercise because I really like it, but I also use my health to my body is comfortable, so I can chant without distraction, because my body is comfortable because I'm not sick. So someone else who is more in the mode of goodness, they may like to garden, okay, spend time in the garden. But the premise, the principle is that they want to use the vegetables and flowers for Krishna, offer to Krishna, make some prasadam, right, fruits and vegetables. But it's in and of itself is an activity in the mode of goodness, right? But also, when you're not in the consciousness that the offering of the vegetables and fruits is number one, is priority. Offering those vegetables and fruits to Krishna is not your priority. You're feeling that you just want to enjoy your time in the garden and water the plants and watch how they grow. Well, you're in goodness, great. But you may be easily frustrated. So your goodness may quickly turn into passion. You know, you may see like, oh, you know what? There was no rain. And my plants are wilting, and oh, there was too much rain. So these plants and vegetables are coming up, and these fruits are not. So you're not happy because there's an imbalance. But you're not happy because you wanted to see those fruits and vegetables grow, and you wanted to take care of them, but not necessarily. Your feeling was that it's for your own enjoyment, and then somewhere in the back of your mind, you were thinking maybe, yeah, I'm going to offer them to Krishna, you know, when I see everything is perfect, and I'll offer it. But because the consciousness was giving priority to actually enjoying the fruits and vegetables and growing them, and not to the act that this is for Krishna and offering them to Krishna, that's why you were easily frustrated, and your mode of goodness turned into passion. You got angry. My garden is not doing so well. And you get upset, and then your mind is clouded and it turns into ignorance. So from goodness you went to quickly into passion and then into ignorance. Because whatever activity you do, like Srila Prabhupada tells us in the purport, if it's not connected with Krishna, it does not matter. Whether you exercise, or you garden, or you go to the casino. It doesn't matter. If it's not connected with Krishna, it's still going to cause, ultimately, your ignorance, and it clouds your mind. So your mind is not clear for spiritual life. You're not happy. Srila Prabhupada tells us, when it is not connected with the Supreme and Krishna consciousness, you can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind. So first of all, the thinking is not clear because you're giving priority to the activity, or, you know, interested in some other personality than Krishna and the Holy Name. And then first of all, you cannot have peace. Your mind will be shifting and maybe oscillating between frustration and enjoyment, frustration and enjoyment. And then how can there be any happiness without peace? And you won't be happy. So let's read the purport. This is very, very, very important purport. Unless one is in Krishna consciousness, there is no possibility of peace. It is confirmed in chapter 5, verse 29. Bhaktaram Ega Tapasam, right? That 529 peace formula. Then when one understands Krishna as the only enjoyer of all the good results, he's the only enjoyer of all the good results. Whether you have good health, you have a nice garden, or you win $1 million, he's the enjoyer. That will give you the proper intelligence to use the results, and you'll be happy. So Krishna is the only enjoyer of all good results, sacrifice and penance, and he's the proprietor of all universal manifestations. He's the real friend of all living entities. Then only can one have real peace. Therefore, if one is not in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be a final goal for the mind. So you'll be giving priority in your mind, in your consciousness, to other activities than chanting the Holy Name and offering everything to Krishna. Then you cannot have the final goal for the mind for that time, for that activity. You know, it's you can even, it's called, I think, segmenting the time, the activities. Even, you know, at the beginning of the day you may offer your day to Krishna, but then in the middle of your day you forget about Krishna and you're doing things for your own enjoyment. For that time, for that moment, you don't have the ultimate goal for your mind, and therefore the activity will not make you so happy, whatever you're doing. Disturbance is due to want of ultimate goal, and when one is certain that Krishna is the enjoyer, proprietor, and friend of everyone and everything, then one can, with a steady mind, bring about peace. So you have to be certain about this. It requires some realization. And how does realization come? By practice and personal endeavor. Number two. Number one, by hearing from your Guru Maharaj, from Srila Prabhupada, reading his books. You have to try to follow the rules and the knowledge that Srila Prabhupada gave us. Try to apply it. You'll get realization. If you try to apply it based on what Srila Prabhupada has told us by reading his books, you will get realization. You'll be certain. And then you'll be certain that Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer. You can have a steady mind that brings peace. Even if you're in a bad situation somewhere, you're going, you know, you got stuck on the highway and you're next to like a bar or something and you don't know what to do, you have a good consciousness, because external circumstances will not move you as long as you try to follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and your Guru Maharaj. You will become, you have a realization of this. Therefore, one who is engaged without a relationship with Krishna is certainly always in distress and is without peace. Read this again. Therefore, one who is engaged without a relationship with Krishna is certainly always in distress and is without peace. However much he may make a show of peace and spiritual advancement in life. So every situation, if Krishna is not invited into this activity for whatever reason, one who's engaged in your activities without a relationship with Krishna, you will not have peace, you will not have realization, you will not be happy. how would you use the example that I gave, being in a casino or, I don't know, winning $1 million for whatever reason? Maybe you didn't go to a casino, but somehow you won it. Let's say you gambled and you won it. Okay, you're not a devotee, okay? You're outside. So you're trying to be spiritual, okay? Like one of the Mahatmas that are described in Bhagavad Gita in chapter maybe 9, maybe 7. The four Mahatmas, those who are curious, who are desirous of wealth, and who are distressed by material circumstances. They want to become spiritual, right? So they're like good candidates for being devotees, right? But they're not quite practicing devotees yet. So let's say someone like that wins $1 million, right? Because they went to a casino. They were in the mode of ignorance, right? Playing in the casino. But they try to give $1 million to some spiritual, bona fide spiritual institution, okay? So that elevates that activity, okay? So that brings it up higher to the mode of goodness. Hey, use that money that you want and you give it to a spiritual institution that's bona fide, okay? Someone who is a devotee, let's say we are practicing devotee, okay, and we want to do a bike ride, okay? We want to bike 30 miles and maybe do some extra chanting and see the scenery maybe on the by the lake over here, take a bike ride. You know, you finish your rounds and you want to do some extra rounds and relax and just take a bike ride. Okay, so that's, you like the exercise, you want to sweat a little bit. That is, in and of itself, it could be considered a mode of passion activity. You know, do some exercise, do some extra yoga, stretching. But, if you set your mind on the fact that you will offer this extra energy and extra health that you obtained from this activity, if you offer this to Krishna before your activity, and during the activity you may be thinking about Krishna and chanting when you're on your bike, you will elevate this activity to the mode of goodness or to even transcendental mode. Just make sure you don't fall off your bike when you're thinking about Krishna all the time. So maybe it's just better to chant. Don't ride a bike and think about Krishna. But see, the point is you can elevate your activity from the mode of passion to goodness and transcendental level. Now, if you're doing gardening, right? In and of itself, it's an activity. It's activity in the mode of goodness already, right? It's, in the forest, or, you know, you have your garden. You're in the mode of goodness, great, you're relaxing. So how else can you elevate it? Obviously, you don't want to stay in the mode of goodness. You want to elevate the activity by offering it through our guru to Krishna, offering those fruits and vegetables, offering the beauty, offering the flower. You know, take that flower, but offer it to Krishna. You're elevating your activity in the mode of goodness. You're elevating it to beyond goodness, to the transcendental mode. Okay. So these are some of the examples of the activities and how you can elevate them in Krishna consciousness. So they do not degrade you. They will be a cause of your upliftment, spiritual upliftment. So, and then Srila Prabhupada ends this purport with a nice sentence: Krishna consciousness is a self-manifested peaceful condition which can be achieved only in relationship with Krishna. In all the activities, you should be dovetailing them in Krishna consciousness, thinking about Krishna, inviting Krishna into the activity, listening from your Guru Maharaj, from Srila Prabhupada, and trying to endeavor to give the holy name and Krishna priority during your day. Change your rounds in the morning. Don't chant them when you're tired. You know, I've experienced that. Chanting when I'm tired, it's very bad quality of chanting for me. I'm too tired at 7 or 8 p.m. I may be tired in the morning, but not as tired as in the evening. Go to sleep early. Finish your rounds by sunrise. And now there's a nice practical hints for us
What's helpful also to conquer this Dhyanakasura demon in our consciousness is that daily affirmation, that the chanting of the holy name is the most important thing, the most important duty in our day. And that the holy name includes everything. And whatever we may fathom, whatever we may imagine, because the holy name is Krishna. So it includes all the activities, all the pleasures, all the ideas that we have. It's already in the name, because Krishna is the name. So you may not have the realization, but you affirm. By affirming and thinking about it, or offering some prayers to the previous acharyas who already have this realization. And even before you chant, by doing this affirmation and offering a prayer to Srila Prabhupada, or singing some prayers that are already in our books, written by bona fide Vaishnavas, you can put yourself in a nice position for your own chanting and increase your appreciation for the holy name. And so you, with your heart, you give the holy name priority during your day. Another thing is that helps, in my experience, I think I might have heard this from during one of the seminars of my Guru Maharaj. Another thing that helps is forgiveness. All the wrongdoings that others did to you during your Krishna consciousness, and even before, if you were not born into a Krishna conscious family, or you know, you just joined a few years ago, or you know, those who are born in India, it's maybe a little bit different. Maybe they are born into Krishna conscious families. I was not. My family was spiritual, but not exactly Krishna conscious spiritual. So I am grateful for that. However, whatever happened in your material life and during the course of the Krishna consciousness, someone has hurt you. Someone has done something that's not right. And it's not right, you know. It's not that you're thinking they're not right. Really, you know, it was just something bad, you know. You have to forgive in your heart. Forgive all the bad things. Krishna will take care of everything. So if you forgive and you have this heart that has no, it doesn't have anything negative towards others who have hurt you before, it'll be much easier to chant. Your heart will be transparent and soft. It will welcome new energy. New spiritual energy will be welcomed by your heart. Otherwise, if you're holding some grudges, try to take revenge at the gross or subtle level, you will not be able to appreciate the holy name. Another thing that helps is being aware that our material situation may be finished at any time, according to the Lord's will. You may be in different situations. You may be living in the temple, you may be living outside, going to school, you may have big plans, this, that, you know. Fine, there's nothing wrong. It's great you have plans, and hopefully you're inviting Krishna and making Krishna number one in all your plans. But you also consider philosophically, intellectually, and try to realize that people are just leaving their bodies just around you, you know. And they don't have to be old to leave the body. Everything can be finished at any moment. You have to appreciate this fact. And some other spiritual traditions, like Buddhism, I think I did some research on that years ago. There is a meditation. There's a meditation that the Buddhists, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they go to a graveyard, they go and meditate on death. Okay? It's not fun, it's not very pleasant. But mostly it's not pleasant because we are attached to our material situation. If you are more realized, you will not be so much moved by it. It's going to boost your mood of detachment, but you will not be shocked. But most people don't even want to go to the graveyard just like that. Just going and meditate on how it's going to be when everything is finished and what to do next. So Buddhists and other spirituals use this meditation in conjunction with other practices to actually meditate on that and how impermanent our life is here in the material world. So for devotees, we can use it as a supplemental meditation, you know, a little supplement, you know, just like you eat good food but you still take vitamins. Okay, so vitamins are secondary, but you still use them. So affirming the chanting is most important, and hearing from your Guru Maharaj, and forgiving all people, everyone who has done anything bad to you, but also being aware that our material situation may be finished at any moment. And doesn't matter. It does matter, but actually, on the external view is that devotees leave their bodies too. We just had some great devotees left their bodies, you know, recently. So the material situation, by the Lord's sweet will, may be finished at any moment. It may not necessarily be according to our plan. So we have to be constantly aware of this and in tune with Krishna's will, from moment to moment. Not just once in a blue moon, you go, yes, Krishna, I agree. You did this. This is supposed to happen like this. But daily. Daily, give priority to what Krishna wants, not what you want. Sometimes it's so hard. In the Christian tradition, we have a nice example of the Lord Jesus' prayer when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying I'm just giving this example just because I have some background in the Christian tradition. So, Jesus was praying to the Lord. We can also take a Srila Prabhupada mentioned many times that Jesus is our teacher. He was praying to the Lord that my will is not so important, but your will may be done, you know, your will, whatever you like, Father, or he would say Daddy, whatever you like, and it may happen, my will, it's not so important. It may be difficult, but it's not so important. I'd like you to decide what's going to happen. So we can learn from this that that our material situation may be finished according to the Lord's will at any time. Very important. And we pray to the Lord, you know, whatever you're willing for this situation. Okay, I'll give you a practical example. Let's say sometimes you know, I live as a grahasta, so we have sometimes a discussion. Okay, what should we do on Sunday? We have choices. I'm usually at work on Sunday morning too. Then I go to the temple. In between, we have some family time. Okay, go on a bike ride, okay? Or maybe go to the swimming pool. So we have some choices. And we don't usually know exactly what Krishna wants. So we have to decide ourselves. So my wife thinks, okay, let's go on a bike ride. And I'm thinking, no, let's be in the swimming pool. And the children want, no. We're going to play with Lego. We're going to do this. We're going to play this new game. We got this game from the store, gift shop. Evolution is a pretty cool game. Check it out. I enjoy it, even though I'm an adult, supposedly. But there is no agreement, right? Disagreement. I want to go on the bike ride. We have four bikes in the garage. Let's go on a bike ride. And we all chant, you know, we'd be biking and chanting. But the children don't want to do that. They want to do something else, and I want to do something else. So if we all get together and pray and chant one round sincerely, I guarantee you'll get the answer to what to do. Should we? Everything is good, right? As you only offer to Krishna, so who decides what to do? If you don't hear Krishna from within, because we're not so advanced, most of us, including myself, you know, we don't know what Krishna wants. But pray sincerely one round, all the family members, and then the answer will come. Yeah, but you gotta be sincere, really focused. So, giving priority to Krishna's will at every moment, not just maybe at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day. In between, could be anything, whatever I please. So we have affirmation that the chanting of the holy name is most important duty. Forgiving everyone for all the wrongdoings. Being aware that our material situation may be finished at any time, according to the Lord's will. And number four, do other duties that are necessary for your temple, you know, if you have a temple service or you're outside doing a different types of service that are not directly maybe Krishna conscious, like I have a regular job, I work at, you know, fitness clinic and I do this and that, so I have activities that are not directly Krishna conscious, but I have to make them Krishna conscious somehow. So do other duties, but not beyond the point that causes me to forget Krishna. Okay? Well, my teacher, my Guru Maharaj, said that you can push, but don't break. So what's the pushing? Trying to fulfill your duties for the family, you know, for this, for that, you know, trying to make it to the temple. This is a spiritual duty, but other duties are there. They're not necessarily so spiritual. So you have to push and try to do them. So, but then you don't want to break. What does breaking mean? You did your duties, but you forgot Krishna. So what's the point? You fulfill everything. You have the check mark. 1, 2, 3. You exercise. You went to work. You did this. You went shopping. You took care of your garden. But in the middle, you forgot Krishna. So you broke. You broke. Push, but don't break. So these are some points that will help us defeat the Nakasura, or the consciousness that something else is more important than chanting of the holy name and Krishna. Put him as number one, and then difficult things will become easy. If you don't put Krishna as number one, easy things will become difficult to do. Srila Prabhupada sometimes would give us this example. I heard it, that you put in your bucket, you have a limited space in your bucket. We have a limited space with our abilities and our time. So you put the big rocks first in the bucket if you have to fill it to its limit. Okay? The big ones first, the little ones will fit in somehow. They'll fall into the bottom of the bucket between the cracks, you know, here, because they're small. If you put the small ones first and you fill the bottom of it, and then you have only 3/4 or half of the bucket left, the large ones may not fit, they'll be sticking out. So you put Krishna first, everything else will be adjusted. You know, people may accuse you, you're not perfect, but you put Krishna first, and that's what counts. So I wish you that every day, every moment of your life. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 58, quickly fast forward to this one. Machita sava durgani mat pashadat tarishashi atha chetva mahankaran nashoshashi vinakshasi. If you become conscious of me every moment, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in this consciousness daily by act through false ego, the Nakasura, something else is more important. Not hearing from me or your Guru Maharaj, you will be lost. You will be frustrated and angry, and then you're not happy. Well, we want to be happy. So I wish you that you keep Krishna in your hearts every day, every moment of your life. And then Lord Balaram will slash the demon, the Nakasura. He spun him around and threw him in the tree. That's how he disposed of the demon. So he'll do that for us too. No problem. We cannot do it, but he can do it. Thank you for your attention, Hare Krishna. Any questions, if we have any time? Sure, go ahead.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the class. Correct me if I'm wrong. I guess we all come from a Judeo-Christian background. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the first commandment was that, to have God in the center of everything we did. This is not new for us. Shouldn't be new for us.
Yes.
Because we know. One of the things is that we as Judeo-Christians, any of the Ten Commandments, we apply it in our regular basis. One thing that is interesting in this philosophy is that everything that is being said turns into a way of life, into a philosophy of life, that if we apply, we gain liberation. How do we get liberation? Through taking all our burdens and putting them into Krishna's hands, in Krishna's offer. if all our deeds are meant to please Krishna and not to please ourselves, or if we please ourselves is because we're pleasing Krishna. Krishna is happy, therefore I'm happy. You know, it's how we get liberated, is my understanding, that we can enjoy things, but not for ourselves, per se. Is that we're enjoying those things that we're doing is because we are seeing the results. Because as long as Krishna is happy, he's manifesting in good things towards ourselves. He manifests, indeed, in a permanent basis. We see it every day, you know, through the devotees, through our desires and things get responded by him in a tangible way, you know. And one of those things is that we gain peace of mind, and that is one of those manifestations. We're happy, we're lighter every day. Krishna came to kill a lot of demons, and we have our own demons. And when we praise God through the holy names, chanting and doing everything we do for his happiness, and because this is our constitutional position, we're getting happy and happier and lighter. That's not a bad thing. That is a good thing. As long as every day, constantly, we are thinking on Krishna. I do this. I ride my bike, not because I want to have my six-pack stone and thing. No, it's because I have a body that is not mine.
Sure.
That I need to keep on stretching my life as possible in a healthy way for me to keep serving in an effective way. Our demons are going to go away if we are consciously thinking in the mode of goodness.
Yes.
That is the mode of goodness. How we please others, how we fulfill others' needs, meeting tangibly our own eagerness to please Krishna, is what this, the whole thing about. It's my take. I don't know.
It's great, Prabhu. I was completely absorbing what you're saying. It's like, it's great. Yeah, it's great. It's the consciousness you should have. I hope I keep my consciousness when I leave the temple and go to work.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I'll be able to keep Krishna in the heart.
Yeah, and this isn't a daily basis thing. We are like pitchers with dirty water. We have to open the faucet to have the water running until all that dirt is gone and the pitcher gets with clean water, pure water. You know, otherwise if we do it just a little bit, that water that was in the pitcher is going to tint later on the other one. So what is what we're doing? No, we need to have that faucet open permanently.
Yes.
We're not elevated. We're not going to reach this is the last step. See you later. I'm fine. I'm a realized person. No, this is something that we got to do every day, constantly.
Thank you so much for your coming. Well, thank you for your attention. Any other questions? Any other comments? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
I remember, I forgot what to say.